instead of going back into 1 Corinthians, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break from that. And what's been burdening my heart is the subject of worship and praise. And because, as I said earlier in something that I wrote, is that I think God's people, I think there is a need, there's a lack of true, unhindered, unquenchable worship in the life of the Christian. And like what I said earlier to a few friends that I was talking to, is that Sunday morning is an extension of our worship and our praise that's been going on during the week. And when do we praise God? We praise Him when we're in the valleys. We praise Him when we're on the mountain peaks and everywhere in between. Why? Because He is worthy. And so through this series, which I've entitled Face Down, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at a few things that have to do with worship. And the title of this morning's message is Worth. So we're going to take a look at two questions. We'll answer them. So the question is why? Why are we going through this exactly? Well, because I believe that, again, there's a lack of it. And as we understand God's character, we will more aptly, will be more inclined to unashamedly worship the Lord, not only with our lives during the week, but also on Sunday, we can more easily lift our hands. I don't know about you, but last Sunday when the worship team was leading us in that song, Exalted, He is Exalted. I don't know about you, but I could not keep my hands down. You know, it was one of those times where it was just an automatic response. Just, man, I got it. This is all for You, God. It's all Yours. And that's what I'd love to see in God's people. That's my desire, is that especially in the church on Sunday mornings when we come together, it's a celebration. You may be exhorted, you may be rebuked, but it's a celebration. And I could not keep my hands down. And what I desire to see is God's people moved by His beauty, His majesty, His faithfulness, to lift voices and hands in adoration, thanksgiving, and true worship that is unashamed. In spirit and in truth, He is worthy to be praised in the assembly of His people, is what His word says. On Palm Sunday, the day in which Jesus comes in triumphantly into Jerusalem, in Luke 19, 37 through 40, this is what Scripture says. As He was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, Teacher, rebuke Your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. This may not be the first time that you hear this passage. You may have studied this passage. You may have read it yourself. But have you ever thought of this? As you read that passage, you think, how is it that I can have this type of just unhindered praise for the Lord? And is this the type of praise, or is it what's required of God's people? It's the latter. It's what's required of God's people. So here's the question. How does a person learn to praise and worship God like this? Answer. Man was made worshiping. Made worshiping. Yeah, we were created worshiping. You don't need to work yourself up into being a person of worship to worship, because you're already a worshiping person. Harold Best says it best. He writes, quote, "We were created continuously outpouring," close quote. Continuously outpouring. That is how we were designed as a people. In other words, you can't help but worship. It's how you were made and who you are and what you were made to do. You just can't help it. But what is the object of your worship? In Mark Driscoll's book, Doctrine, What Christians Should Believe, he writes, quote, "In ancient cultures, social life revolved around sanctuaries, temples, and stadiums. There, various gods and goddesses were worshipped as people gave their time, talent, and treasure as sacrifices to the adoration of their deity. Even the buildings themselves were built as acts of worship. Today, little has changed. The temple of Ra, the sun god, has now been replaced with warm weather resorts and tanning salons where worshippers pay homage to their bronzing god. The temples of Ta, the god of craftsmen, are today hardware stores and craftsmen tools. The temples at Nemea, Olympia, Delphi, and Isthmia included stadiums which have now been replaced with soccer fields, baseball parks, football stadiums, and basketball arenas where pagan fans dress up like they always have, as birds and animals to cheer for their gods as they score points. The healing cults of Asclepius, with sanctuaries at Epidaurus and Corinth, have now been replaced with holistic health spas," close quote, and he goes on. Makes you think? I hope so. I hope it does make you think. Listen, if you consider yourself a loyal fan, anyone here a loyal fan? I see a Laker jersey over here. Yeah. I'm with you. Listen, let me give you this disclaimer, okay? Going to a baseball game, a football game, a hockey game, and cheering for your team is not a sin in and of itself, okay? It's when it takes the place of your praise for God that it is a sin. Okay, listen to me as far as this is concerned. Fans, or if you've seen a fan, true fan. Here's a true fan, right? When you go to a game and you're inclined to clap, yell, cheer, stomp your feet in unison, right? Chant to whatever the big screen says to chant. You might even just uncontrollably, yeah! Woo! It's like, whoa, what happened there, right? I was just excited, and it's natural, isn't it, to do that? It is. You want to cheer your team. And you might even just, hey, out of the blue, just cheer, I don't know, encourage them to score more points, you know, put on your rally hat, put on some paint, war paint, right? That's what we do. We're made to worship. We are made worshiping, so we are inclined to worship. And that's what we do. But what disturbs me is to think that man has quenched the worship of the Lord among his people. That the fear of bringing undue attention to oneself has somehow hindered the lifting of one's voice and the raising of one's hands in adoration and exaltation and worship of the one who is worthy of that praise. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, rolling around in the aisles kind of a thing. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, because God will not contradict or you know, interrupt himself. By the way, if I'm speaking from this pulpit, I pray that I am prophesying, that God is giving me the words to speak, that as I read from Scripture, that it is God that is speaking through me. And he will not interrupt himself with a word from the audience. That is order, right? When we're praising, we're worshiping the Lord. You know, the lifting naturally of the hands, it's a natural thing for us to do. It's a posture that we come to the Lord with in complete humility and giving him the praise. But there is that point to where you cross the line and it's like, oh, that guy's crazy. Look at him. Now he's dancing and he's doing this or that. Okay, well, that's where maturity comes into play. And we don't go to the point to where we draw undue attention to ourselves. All the attention, all the praise should be going to him. and him alone. Does that make sense? Okay. But I think if we take, and here's what I believe, if we go to the extreme to where as people lift their hands and stand up, if you feel like standing up in the middle of worship, by all means, stand up. But my fear is that in the midst of that, I know there have been churches that have asked people to please sit down. Please don't raise your hand. You're drawing attention to yourself. And people, David danced before the Lord in a whole different way. You guys know the story about David? Yeah, I won't go into that, but if you know the story about David, he was an unhindered worshiper. And he praised the Lord. We're not going to be doing that here, but but you get my point. My desire is to see and hear God's people worshiping our Lord with everything they have. And this morning I'd like to lay out scripture that defines and exemplifies the worship and praise that is due to our Lord, in the hope that you will be moved in your spirit to worship God in a biblical and unhindered manner. So let's pray before we get into scripture. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us clearly. I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you give us understanding this morning. Lord, that your word sinks deep to the heart of your people. And that we are united in you and that we are unashamedly on our faces in complete humility, worshiping you, the one who is deserving of our praise and worship. And your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, speak to us this morning, I ask. And may hearts break for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, turn with me to Psalm 150. It's the last psalm, Psalm 150. Just before Proverbs. And by the way, if all of a sudden your Bible isn't lining up with what I've been reading, it's because I jumped to ESV and you're still in New King James. So that's why. Psalm 150 says this, praise the Lord. Okay, first of all, praise the Lord. This psalm starts and finishes with those words, praise the Lord. And it has a big exclamation point. It has some great stuff right in between. Listen to this. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And again, he ends with these words, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not just, hey, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm good. Praise the Lord. It's not. We are to be enthusiastic worshipers of the Lord. The psalmist is excited about coming and worshiping the Lord. We have some clanging cymbals, right? We have some stringed instruments. We have some beautiful voices up here. We have some beautiful voices out here. This is the chorus. And how sweet it must sound. Robbie, does it sound sweet when all of us are singing at one time? Absolutely. Can you imagine, I mean, before the Lord, before his throne? He not only hears our voices, first of all, he fixes our voices and we all sound really nice, right? But he's listening to our hearts. Oh, my people, they're lifting my name on high, and they are coming to me, and they are unashamed. Look at them. Do you know that that is a witness to anyone who does not know the Lord? And they come into his house, and they see his people all together collectively with one voice, worshiping the Lord. It's a great testimony. It's a great witness. But it's a sweet sound. And the psalmist in 98, Psalm 98, if you want to turn there. And by the way, I'm going to be in Psalms for most of this morning. But at some point, I'll probably be going rapidly through some of the scriptures. So you might want to just jot down the reference and then later go to it. Okay? So Psalm 98 says this. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. That's what we are to do. Do you know what you're going to be doing for all eternity? Anyone, just anyone. Sorry, that wasn't what I was going to answer. We're going to be praising the Lord for all eternity. We're going to be in his glory. I'm going to get to something at the end of this message of someone who is written about that came to the presence of the Lord and saw all of God's glory. And you'll see what happens with him. But when we come into the presence of the King, we can't help but just fall on our faces and praise and worship him. My question is, do you feel like you can't worship the Lord like others do? Are you reluctant to pick up your hands? Do you hesitate to raise your voice in song, even though the words are up on the screen? Listen, don't worry about the person in front of you. Seriously, if you sing out of tune or whatever, it doesn't matter. Sing. How about your life? Do you continually worship the Lord with your life, who you are, a living sacrifice? The Bible says that this is our spiritual worship to God, to give to him our bodies for holy and righteous living, as it says in Romans 12:1. Do you have any hesitation to fully worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ? Any hesitation? And here's the thing. I just pray that through this morning, through next Sunday, through the Sunday after that, that you come to a point to where you understand what hinders your worship, who you are to worship, when you are to worship, and answering several other questions. And through that, you become that worshiper that God has written down in Scripture for us to be. And here are the questions that we're going to cover. This morning we're going to cover two. What is worship and why do we worship? Here's the others that we'll answer in the following weeks. Who are we supposed to worship? What can hinder our worship? When are we to worship? And how shall we worship? So, the first one. What is worship? Well, Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines worship as reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. And Nelson's dictionary continues that definition by saying that the English word worship is actually derived from an old English word worth-ship, W-O-R-T-H, ship, which denotes that worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. And the question we'll have to answer at some point is whether we choose to give or not give praise to the Lord. But we are not in a position as the creation to deem whether God is worthy of praise and worship, because he is worthy. He is God. He is worthy of our praise and worship. It's just the decision whether we choose to worship him or not to worship him. The psalmist said in Psalm 18:3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And in 1 Chronicles 16:29, says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. With our very lives. Romans 12:1, and I'll quote what I had referred to earlier. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Another translation says your reasonable service. Something that is just part of the worshiper, the disciple, the Christian. It's reasonable. Hey, it's nothing that you didn't go out of your way to do it. It just should come naturally. Some people have said that they've committed their lives to Christ, but there is, unfortunately, no evidence of that devotion. Remember that worship is giving God that worthiness, right? Giving him the place that is due him in our lives. God loved us while we were still sinners. He sent his Son to this earth, the unblemished Lamb, to die in our stead. The death that we should have died, separated from God forever. That is the God who we should give worth to. And it's through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he demonstrated his love for us. That is the person that we are to give worth to. Another word we need to define is praise. Nelson's Bible Dictionary again defines praise as an act of worship or acknowledgement by which the virtues or deeds of another are recognized and extolled. Extolled is praised enthusiastically. Enthusiastically. So if worship is our commitment, our devotion to God, then praise is the expression of that committed devotion and enthusiastic expression. Do we come short of that? I know I have fallen way short of that. What was interesting to me is the word extol. It comes from the Latin word extolere, which I can say it, you know, I know Spanish. So, you guys okay? You guys with me? You guys, as we talk about this subject, I hope that it really is sinking in, that you understand what God calls us to do. And it's all to honor him, to praise him. That's the very purpose of our lives, to bring him honor, bring him pleasure. It comes from two words. One is ex, and that means out or upward. And then tolere means raise. So to extol, all the praises, they're not for us. We are like this mirror that should reflect any praise that comes towards us and just reflect it right to the Lord. Praise comes our way. Hey, praise God. I am an instrument in his hands. But it all goes to him. We give him the praise. And as his word comes to us, as we are able to encourage others, we are only giving what God has already given to us. And in that, we are praising the Lord. So let's pull it all together. If we have fully committed our lives to God with reverent devotion, it will be enthusiastically expressed in how we live because of who God is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he says he's going to do. Mike Pilavachi says, quote, "Worship is about God, to God, and for God," close quote. The psalmist said again in 18:3, "I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." So, if you have chosen to give God worth, his position, his rightful position in your life, then the worship of him is a life of obedience because you love him and you praise him because of who he is and what he's done for you. And I hope you realize what he's done for you. Again, Mike Pilavachi, and what he does is he writes a foreword in the book written by Matt Redman, The Unquenchable Worshipper. He says this, referring to a time that, by the way, they set aside for a time of worship. Matt Redman is, he writes some beautiful worship songs. We've sung them. We sing them. Well, he was at one time in Mike's youth group. And so what they did, they committed to one time a week going and just worshiping the Lord. And Mike says it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny because I couldn't sing. But what we agreed on is that we wouldn't make fun of each other. We would just come together and worship the Lord. That's all we would do. And this is what he said. He says it was not about practice so we could learn. It was about presence so we could love. Close quote. That was it. How many of you, you're not up here, but you just sing to the Lord at some point? I know many of you do. I know some of you even, like me, you think you play the guitar, and you strum a few chords, and you sing to the Lord. It's not for practice, it's for presence. And to the Lord, it's just beautiful to hear his children sing unto him. So worship is the devotion to God and exaltation of God. Secondly, why do we worship? Well, back to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Excuse me. Verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And if you go back to 148, verse 13, it says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven." I don't expect you to go back to this, but Psalm 48:1, you can jot it down. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And then in Psalm 96:4 through 6, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Again, it's said there, "He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Why do we worship? To be honest with you, as I studied this subject of worship and praise, I thought I was just going to take one Sunday morning and just give it to you all. Well, the volume of this book is praise and worship to the Lord right here. So we can spend the next three Sundays and we still won't exhaust why we are to praise the Lord and give him the worship. Why? The reasons are endless. They are endless. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a few reasons why we should worship and praise God. First of all, it's a command. Very simple, because why? Because Dad said so. The Father's command is that we worship. 2 Kings 17:36 says, "But you shall fear the Lord, who who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. You shall bow yourselves to him, and to him you shall sacrifice. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Here's where you might want to just start jotting down these references. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. If God is Lord in your life, and you are his servant and subject, and you are subject to his commands. So the Lord says, my commandment to you is worship. We are instruments. It'd be kind of like a hammer. You're made into a hammer. Or something a little bit more with more splendor, like shears, right? No, or maybe a saw. Could be some scissors. Okay, like the little things that that ladies do. Some guys might do it too. But what's it called? Scrapbook, yeah, right? Because there's some, Becky knew exactly what I was talking about. My husband did. Okay, so Max, so scrapbooking. By the way, there's some pretty cool scissors in scrapbooking. It's like, what, you can do what with that? because I saw them. Bettina does it. But those tools, can you imagine, just some scissors. You put it in the mold, you put it all together, you sharpen the blade, you put them together with a little screw, and you started cutting, you started doing some things that really were pretty amazing, that people can do some amazing things with paper. But can you imagine the scissors sitting there and saying, look what I've done. Look at all that. Isn't that pretty cool? That's pretty cool, huh? Yeah, look it. You can do this with it, and it's a bunch of little guys, It just looks beautiful. The hammer, look what I've done. I've put all this drywall on this wall right here, and I keep it together by hammering these nails, using me as an instrument to hold all the drywood up, drywall up, and then, it was painted and all that, but I did that. What I'm getting at is the instrument doesn't receive the glory. It's the Creator. We are God's creation, and we are instruments of righteousness, I hope, but we ourselves don't receive the glory. I said last week that sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. I don't think so. I know so. We think too highly of ourselves. We are very prideful people, and sometimes we need to be humbled. But it's all for a purpose. But extol him. Extol him. 1 Peter 2:9, speaking of the second reason, is because God's people are to be a worshiping people. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Exodus 19:5 through 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, each and every one of you are chosen ones. Have we sought him in his presence continually? Have we sought his strength? We are a worshiping people. Why we should worship and praise God? Because it should be the response to God of God's people. It should be the response. Exodus 4:31 says, "And the people believed." Again, Exodus 4:31. "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped." Deuteronomy 12:7, "And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your households, in all that you undertake, in which the Lord your God has blessed you." Everything that you have comes from the Father of lights that is a blessing to you. And we are to praise God for what we have. It's all because of him. Why we should worship and praise God? Well, because of God's holy presence, because of God's greatness. Why we should worship and praise God? How about because it should be our natural response to the deeds of God. Do you acknowledge him in everything? Romans 12:28, I know, is quoted a lot. "All things work together for good." To those who are the called, who love God and are the called according to his purpose. All things. I know it's tough sometimes because in James 1:2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So in everything, we praise the Lord. And it should be our natural response. Acts 3, verse 8. Says, "And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Finally, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. As we turn there, that last verse that I read to you, I know as far as I'm concerned, the Lord has caused me to get up. Bring down his hand and say, "Get up. I'm giving you strength. I'll give you everything that you need. I will sustain you." In Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6, Jesus talked about not being anxious for anything. That enough tomorrow is filled with enough trouble. Just live today. I provide for the birds of the air. I dress the flowers of the field. How much more you, my prized possession, my poema? How much more will I take care of you, my people? Our response is just complete worship and praise for the Lord. Isaiah 6, I've been looking forward to getting to this place. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me.'" This is Isaiah now. "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. What was Isaiah's response? He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. We can't even begin to imagine, but we have this described for us. For him, he said, Woe is me. I stand before a holy God, a righteous God, a perfect God. I am in his presence. I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Humility. Humility before the Lord in all his glory. That's why as we come to his house, we come in complete reverence. We come to worship the Lord collectively together. Afterwards, we may fellowship and edify the church and build each other up. Continuing in our worship. By encouraging others, by possibly giving the other person a word that the Lord has passed through us to give to them, to give them just a little bit of wisdom, the little bit that was necessary. That is a form of worship. We are to be instruments of righteousness in the hands of our Creator, in the hands of the potter. Let him form into us the image of his son. For Isaiah, he was undone. He was completely before the Lord undone. And I pray that as the psalmist said, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. I pray this morning that you don't come prideful to worship the Lord. I pray that when it comes to Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that you continually seek the presence of the Lord as we read. That you look for his strength, not your own or someone else's, but the Lord's. And that you fully realize that God demonstrated his love for us in his son Jesus Christ, sending him to the cross, dying in your place for the sins that you and I have committed. And it says in the word of God that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. And it starts there. And our worship truly starts there. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And you can take a look at Galatians 5:22 and look at what is the evidence of my salvation. Do I exemplify the fruit of the Spirit? And if you lack in any place there, then allow the Lord to continue to refine you. And he uses circumstances, he uses situations all to fine-tune certain areas. In other circumstances, he's just chiseling away. Oh, that hurt. That hurt. But listen, never, ever, ever leave this family. This is the church right here. No matter what. As long as we're about the Lord's business, this is the place where his people need to be. worshiping the Lord collectively, learning about him, who he is, and hopefully more closely resembling his son, Jesus Christ. So I pray that we are an unhindered and unquenchable group of worshipers that proclaim the good news instead of grumbling about all that we don't like, just proclaiming the good news and encouraging each other, building each other up, praising him, honoring him. What is worship? Devotion, commitment, a pledge of your life given to the Lord. Jesus, come. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from them. That's what I said last week. It's turning from your sins, and it's receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A pledge to him. It's praise. It's exaltation. Why? I hope after this morning that you understand a little bit more closely why it is that we are to worship. And worship for the worship team and for us as we worship collectively. It's quoted again by Mike Pilavachi. He says, quote, worship is not so much engaging with people. That's why I say don't worry about each other. Okay? It's not engaging with people as it is engaging with God. I pray that you engage with him at every moment of every day. That is our reasonable service. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Lord, I pray for us. Lord, that we may be a people who, Lord, are constantly pursuing righteousness, who are not willingly being given over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lord, I pray that you would bring along brothers and sisters and place them before us that are bold enough to tell us, to point out if there are areas in our lives which need correction. I pray that's done lovingly. And the purpose of that is for us to be unhindered worshipers. Lord, that we praise you. That we give you all the honor. Lord, I know that we cannot do that without your strength. We cannot even be true worshipers if we are not Christians, if we have not placed our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Because you are calling worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone in here who has not surrendered their heart to you, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. That if you simply turn from your sins and turn to God in his righteousness and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the Bible says that you will be saved. And I pray that the Lord is calling and drawing unto you this morning, that you're listening. So Lord, speak to your people and speak to us continually as we seek your presence and dive into your word. We thank you for all that you've done and all that's to come. As we read in Isaiah, one day we too will see you in all your glory, and we'll see the train of your robe filling the heavens and the earth. Everything. Amazing. May we be worshipers who say as Isaiah, here am I, send me, all to bring you glory. And I thank you and I praise you Bless your people, I ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.